There we go. Nice to be here again with this group. And I think Regina mentioned it, that the title of this little mini-series of talks is The Awakeness That Is Always Already Here. And each week I've been kind of breaking that down into specific qualities, fundamental qualities of awareness of your true nature that are just always present in every experience. And very simply, those fundamental qualities are awareness, space or dimension, aliveness, discrimination, and oneness. And these are all different aspects of one thing, one mysterious presence. So it's not like they operate separately. They're all intertwined. They're all present simultaneously. So awareness is very spacious, and there's only one aliveness, and all awareness is discriminating. They just function together, all of a piece, all of one piece. And the other thing I've been stressing these last few talks, and it's probably the most important thing that I can share, and the thing that if you don't kind of remember any of the specifics or the details, it's an invitation to recognize that you don't actually need to have a big expanded experience of your true nature in order to actually be able to discriminate or distinguish these fundamental qualities. They're here even in a very contracted experience of awareness. And as I explored last week, in case anyone wants to go back and listen again, or anybody who missed it, that contraction itself is a function of this awareness. It's a function of the discriminating quality of awareness. That when awareness encounters something that's not very true, not a very complete perspective, it contracts down to the size of the experience. So even in a very contracted experience, your awareness is being discriminating. In fact, it's discriminating by contracting. And what this allows is if you let go of the idea that you need to have a big awakening, a big enlightenment experience, then it allows you to just be very curious, very present to what is here right now. Because this presence, this awareness, as I often use the word awareness kind of interchangeably with the mysterious presence that can't actually be described or named. But because awareness is so fundamental, because all these qualities are so fundamental, then you can use the word awareness to point to the fundamental reality, to your true nature. And so it's always here. You don't need to have a big expanded experience to learn about it. Just as you don't need to go to the ocean to study water. You can start with a much smaller amount of water and still discover a lot about water. And tonight, I'm going to explore actually a wonderful quality of our true nature, and that is that it's oneness, or you could also say connectedness. The surprising thing is that all awareness, all being, all life is connected, and in fact is so totally connected that it's one thing. So all awareness is as connected as your foot is to your leg. They are both part of one thing. And all beings, all individuals, all expressions of this one life, this one aliveness, this one awareness, are just as completely connected, just so connected that oneness is the ultimate expression of that. The sense that there's only one of it, one of us, one of all. And the challenge is that within that one thing that is everywhere and everywhen, there's all this difference. There's all these incredibly diverse and different expressions different, obviously different bodies, different species, different planets, different galaxies. There's a huge range of different kinds of expressions of this one beingness. However, difference does not actually contradict oneness. Those aren't actually opposites. There can be lots and lots of differences within one thing. And a very simple way to explain that is if you right now look down at your hand, and you'll notice that there are five different, very different fingers. And yet, are they not connected? In fact, we would also look at that same hand and say that there's one hand. And yet, even when you see that there's just one hand, that doesn't contradict that the thumb is very different from the index finger, and the index finger is different from the other three fingers. So difference does not contradict oneness. It's more just a richness within it, a potential within this one being to have all these different expressions. And just like all the other qualities I've been saying all along, this quality of oneness, this characteristic that we are so connected to everything and everyone, is incredibly obvious when you are having a big or expanded or enlightened experience, an awakening experience. You know, the oneness is so strong, the sense of oneness, the sense of connection is so strong that it doesn't, no one needs to tell you that, you know, that you're one with everything. You are experiencing it in full measure. You are experiencing it fully. However, it still is present in much smaller experiences. If we are willing to, in a sense, tune our awareness, tune our noticing, to simply reflect upon it. Everyone has felt connected to something in their life, whether it's a lover or a pet or a child, one of your children, or a friend, or nature, or the ocean, when you're visiting the ocean. Everyone's felt some sense of connection to things. And yet, even when, like in a moment where it feels like there's little or no connection, where we feel lonely or alone, it's just natural. It's like inherent in that experience is a deep longing for connection, which itself, the longing for connection is coming from the place in us that knows we are connected. It's coming from the place in us where we are connected. So even longing for connection, even wanting a lover, wanting more connection with people, wanting more connection with your true nature, wanting connection of any sort, is itself an expression of this oneness. It's just a very limited one, a very contracted one that's been shaped to be very, very small by our condition, by our thoughts, by our beliefs. The oneness, even the oneness that's present in that longing for connection, but the oneness or connection that's always present is an inside job. We are connected at the source, not out at the surface. You can experience a lot through your senses, through reaching out and touching. You can hug another person. You can pick up a puppy and let it lick your face, and there will possibly be a stronger sense of connection or oneness with that person or with that puppy. But even in that experience, the actual connection is deeper. The connection is inside. In fact, it's all the way inside. That's where we are connected. So whether or not you're hugging another person, whether or not you have a puppy handy, you can experience the oneness by going inside. And that's the source of that connection. That's the source of everything. And so, you know, looking hard for connection in the surface of your experience, in the outer circumstances of your experience, will always be, it's not that it's not there. It's being expressed in everything. But I used to say it's kind of like trying to, you know, you want to get a drink of water. So you go and you disconnect a hose from a faucet outside, and then you try to drink out of the hose. You know, the hose is not the source. The faucet on the side of the house, that's the source. You have to turn on the faucet and put your mouth under that. And so all of our outer experience, this whole world of form and this beautiful expression of our oneness, of our being, is not the source. And so it will never be completely satisfying if you focus only in that direction. You can also focus within. Nonetheless, if we lower the bar, in fact, lower it all the way down, lower the bar to the ground for evidence of connection, we can find it in every experience, even the superficial aspects of our experience. It's still happening out there, it's just much stronger inside at the source. And everything out on the surface, everything still affects everything else. That's this simpler, lower bar, this simple evidence of connection, is the simple fact that everything affects everything else. And that's a form of connection. Anytime you're influenced by anything in your environment, or you influence anything in your environment, you could say there's a connection. Sometimes it's literal, because we're so close to it that we can feel like heat coming off of it. If you're standing next to a wood stove, it's pretty obvious that wood stove is affecting you. And it may not be as obvious, but you in some way are affecting that wood stove. If it's not lit, you're definitely probably warming the wood stove. It's working the other way around. And the closer something is to us in physical space, the stronger the influence, the stronger these effects are. But as the distance increases, the effects get more subtle, but they are still actually there. It's again, by lowering the bar, by focusing on just ordinary experience, we could start to kind of recognize that there's some connection present in every experience. There's at least some of it. There's some way in which we are affecting other things, or other things are affecting us, that we can sense in every moment, even just with our ordinary senses. And of course, we tend to take those kinds of connections for granted because they're so ordinary. We just kind of overlook them. And fortunately, sometimes we also experience subtler and yet more powerful forms of connection. Though sometimes when they're subtle, we doubt them or overlook them or, you know, question whether they're real. But everyone has had moments of deeply intuitive or even psychic connection, like with another person. Something like, you know, that experience where you somehow know who is on the phone before you pick it up. How did that happen? You know, there's some kind of effect that couldn't possibly extend way beyond something in your local environment, something in the room with you, possibly thousands of miles away, and yet something has affected you, or you've affected them to get them to call you. And so the invitation in all of these talks I've been giving, and the invitation tonight, is to explore and experience all the different kinds of these fundamental qualities, and tonight it's connection and oneness, to explore and experience all the different levels that happens on. Big experiences of oneness and small experiences of just the most basic, obvious kinds of connection that we have with our environment. So I'd like to do another little exploration, invite you all to kind of dive into this with a with a direct exploration of your experience right here and right now, what's happening right here and right now. And one of the simplest ways to start is to start with the oneness of the body itself, to get a sense of what connection feels like. What does it mean to have something feel connected? And so to start, just notice the connection between your arm and your hand. Just take a moment and notice your hand and notice your arm. And you might move your hand a little bit, notice how it's connected and how fundamentally it's connected. Is there actually a boundary between them? Or are they also really obviously part of one thing? You can't separate them. Well, you could, but that one, you know, it wouldn't probably really be a hand anymore at that point. So the hand and the arm in this moment are connected. And it's nothing cosmic or, profound. And yet there it is. There's that simple sense of one arm and hand, one thing called the arm. In fact, we often use the word arm for the whole arm, including the hand. And so now what about this arm and your other arm? Your right arm and your left arm. And, talk about different. Now we're talking about two things that are very different. And yet, are they separate? Are they really separate? Or are they, very simply, very obviously, very intimately connected? And again, connected at the source, even in this level of experience. And you could include every other body part. What about your eyes and your arms? They're so different. It's profoundly different. And yet, take a moment and just notice how they're part of one thing. They're part of this body. And then we can get a little more subtle. Because another thing that's present, that's a very, present moment aspect of your experience as a body, is the sense of sight itself. The whole phenomena of sight, which involves the light coming into your eyes from the room or the lamps or the reflecting off the objects in the room. It includes your eyes, it includes your mind, which processes those images and even forms thoughts about them. And yet, this is the kind of invitation here is to notice, what is the sense of either connection or separation between your overall sense of sight and your arms? Is there actually a boundary between seeing and the physical presence of your arms? Or are they not really separate? Very different, but not really separate. All part of this one thing called a body. And then I mentioned them briefly. There's this other thing that's present we call thoughts or a mind. Which again gets kind of involved. It actually gets involved with your experience of your arms. I mean, the fact that you focused on your arms when I said that is because you formed a thought out of my words. But where is the boundary right now, right in this moment, between the mind and your body? Between thinking and all the other sensations, other processes and physical objects or physical forms that make up your body. Where's the boundary where thought stops and then something else called a body or even a head starts? Is your head really one thing and your thoughts a whole nother thing? Like, you know, something that just is somehow, again, a separate, completely separate phenomenon? Is your head and your thoughts, are they really just one phenomenon? And in fact, your thoughts and your whole body. In this moment, do they actually have a boundary between them? Or is it one whole field of experience? Where, again, if you check, each one directly affects the other. Your thoughts affect your body. I'm sure everyone here has had a scary thought and had their heart start to race. And then vice versa, your body affects your thoughts. If you're feeling great, you have obviously very different thoughts than if you're feeling nauseous or if you've just stubbed your toe. Any experience anywhere up and down what we call the body, it can't help but affect your thoughts. Even the thoughts that just arise to notice, to say, oh, you know, my foot's falling asleep. Or the thoughts that notice that you're thirsty. The thoughts that possibly even a thought can make you thirsty. So great. You know, thirst can make you think about water, and thinking about water can make you thirsty. So there's possibly, again, no boundary between the mind and your thoughts. Now, again, this is all, on one level, this is all kind of obvious stuff. It may be stuff that you've all explored before and just kind of take for granted. Body, you know, some people call it the body-mind. And yet, here is that quality of oneness. Here is that mysterious ability for one thing to affect what appears to be is something to affect something else. And the closer something is, the more effect it has. So it's pretty obvious that your body is going to affect your mind and your mind is going to affect your body because they're both right here. They're connected physically as well as energetically. There's blood flowing in and out of all the different parts of your body. The thought, the energy of thought, the actual nervous activity that makes up thought travels throughout your body. In fact, most evidence now shows that we think with our whole body, with neurotransmitters and with nerve centers in the heart and in the gut and throughout the body. So it's not actually a brain, just purely a brain phenomenon. It's one thing, the body-mind. So that's that quality of oneness. You don't have to go any further than your own body to taste oneness, to experience what it means to be connected, to be affected directly by what's present. But now we'll just take it a little further. Like, just expand that same exploration, that same kind of questioning, noticing, and just pick an object in the room, something, and then either touch it or just look at it. And then just notice where do you stop and the seeing or touching of the object, or both, you can pick it up and look at it. Where does the seeing or touching stop and the object actually begin? And you may think, you know, well, it's right there where my skin stops and the physical object begins. And yet the sense of touch and the sense of seeing encompasses that. The sense of, if you picked it up, the sense of touch is also telling you how heavy sense of touch is registering the density of that object, the interior of it, how much weight it has. Is there really a boundary? Is there really a separation? Even if you put it back down, you may still be looking at it, and yet, or you may not, and yet the connection is still there. It gets very subtle, of course, when you look away, when you put it down. And yet, anyone who's experimented with muscle testing knows that, you know, just having something in your energetic field can affect you. If you hold a container of sugar up to, your muscles might go weak. So it's always having an effect. And yet, even in just the ordinary experience of seeing it, touching it, even hearing it, a sense, because as you touch it, it may be, there may be subtle sounds that object is making, that your hands are making and touching it. So is there a boundary, or is it a single field of experience? Of body, seeing, hearing, feeling. There's light, there's heat, there's sensory info, there's sound, there's subtle presence that are all flowing between your eyes, your hands, and the object, and vice versa, between the object and your eyes, your hands, your ears. Clearly, this might not be the all-encompassing experience of oneness you may have been seeking, but it's here right now. It's happening. You can have an experience of oneness with an object. Some objects you may find are easier just because of your conditioning, your preferences. If you have a puppy and you try this experiment with a puppy, a cute puppy, it will probably be very, very easy to feel a dissolving of those boundaries, or a sense that there are no boundaries. Or a lover, if you explore this way with a lover. So paying attention in this way to the subtle and not so subtle, very ordinary connectedness of all the elements of your present moment experience can soften or sometimes even dissolve the sense of separation and allow a greater recognition of this underlying connection, this underlying oneness. And you don't have to limit it to just one object. There are a lot of objects in the room right now, and there is, well, first of all, there's light bouncing off of them into your eyes. There is heat, flows of heat between you and every object, the walls, right out the windows if it's nighttime. There's actually a flow of heat from your body out a window into deep space. Anytime you sit near a window, there is a flow of energy all the way out into deep space. So the same kind of, again, non-mystical and yet mysterious connectedness is present right now with every object in the room. And you may notice that just by recognizing it, just by giving it attention, again, it can sometimes soften or even dissolve the sense of separation, the sense of boundaries. So sometimes even this simple exploration of just ordinary connectedness, just the connectedness in ordinary experience, can open up to a much bigger experience. So just check for yourself whether there's more or less of a sense of connection with the objects in the room right now. Even after just having focused on one, or started to include more than one. It's interesting, it's fun to explore, kind of fill in some of this with the mind, that there are actually flows of molecules between every object. There is, You can call it outgassing. And definitely our bodies outgas. There's a lot more than just heat that comes off of our bodies. Lots of molecules, lots of pheromones and moisture and air, you know, as we exhale. And all of those molecules go out and mix with all the other molecules and strike all the other objects in the room. And if you have plants in your room, they're soaking up some of that carbon dioxide that you just exhaled. And then they're pumping out oxygen that you inhale. So again, even on all the measurable physical levels, it's hard to define, it's hard to make a clear-cut boundary between one object and another. So I invite you to continue to experiment with this, with objects, with sounds, with sights, with pets, with nature, with friends, with lovers, with food, with, you know, the water when you're taking a shower. To just look how, where really is the boundary? Can you say for sure where one object stops and another one starts? Where seeing itself stops and something else called the object seeing starts? Or is it one field of awareness? And by the way, always include whatever you currently experience as yourself. If that's your body and or your mind, then include that. That can be very rich to explore the boundary or lack of a boundary between whatever you call yourself, whatever you call me or I, even the deepest sense of I. As I said earlier, the strongest sense of connection is at the source, is deep within us. It's not such an obvious physical connection. And yet it's in that sense of I that you are actually the most profoundly connected. So you can also just notice, is there a sense of connection, of oneness, deep within your sense of I, within your sense of self, within your body, mind, being? Whatever you take yourself to be, look within that. And just notice. Notice if there is a sense of connection here. Sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes what you'll find there is a sense of a lack of connection. It'll feel like, oh, there's something missing. I spoke about this a little bit one of the other evenings, that those empty spaces are actually also very rich to explore. And that if there is a place where you sense a lack of connection, again, that's where, I mean, clearly, obviously, that would be where the longing for connection arises. It's in a place inside us that feels like we lack connection, lack love, something like that. You can go into that space, into that lack, into that empty place. And surprisingly, you may discover that it's filled with a sense of oneness. It's filled with this really pure, high-octane oneness that is at the source of everything. The last place you might even think to look for it is in the place where you feel lonely or lacking or alone. And to find connection there is very profoundly freeing, because you can't lose that. So the invitation really is to become a connoisseur of oneness, to catch a glimpse of it anywhere and everywhere you can, in everyday ordinary experiences, in the experience of the chair or couch you're sitting on, and your body, to explore it when you hear a bird singing, when you go swimming in water, when you bite into some food, become familiar not just with the specific sensations, the differences that make up those experiences, but you can become familiar with the oneness, the connectedness that's here always in those experiences, in every experience. Then when a bigger or fuller experience of oneness does arise, when, and possibly that can happen in the midst of exploring this way, where suddenly all the boundaries as you explore one experience after another, and then it's sort of like the boundaries all start to get a little bit vague or undefined, and there's just a sense of oneness with the whole room, oneness with the whole planet, oneness with the whole universe. And so anytime a bigger experience, a fuller experience, just a more complete experience of oneness, the oneness is always here, it's just the experience of oneness sometimes becomes more complete. Just like if you close your eyes right now, the room doesn't get any smaller, but your experience of it gets more limited, more constrained, because your eyes are closed. But the room is still the same size. The oneness, this one oneness, there's only one, that's why we call it oneness. If there's anything, if there was something else, then it wouldn't be oneness anymore. The oneness is always here, and sometimes we have these fuller experiences that just either spontaneously arise or come as a result of this kind of gentle exploration, not trying to get a bigger experience, but just noticing oneness that's here. And when a bigger or fuller experience arises, it will be more familiar. If you've been exploring it throughout your day, throughout your life, then when the boundaries really fall away, you'll be familiar with that. And it may be a little easier for you to kind of absorb it, go with experience, because it's like, oh, it's just more of that sense I had, you know, of being one with the room. It's just now it's one with the planet. So this kind of exploration can keep you going with the experience when it opens up. Make it a little easier for you to just not, you know, to not have maybe a fear reaction or a little resistance, but instead just go, oh yeah, I know that. I know that sense of oneness. It can happen a lot in when you're out in nature, looking out over, a lake or the forest or something. And so these explorations will possibly make those experiences just come a little easier and go a little easier. You don't have to hang on to oneness. It's got a really good hold of you. You might, in all of this, you might also take a moment to just ponder. To whatever degree right now you've been able to experience possibly, a little bit bigger sense of oneness, or maybe even a really nicely open sense of oneness, nice, spacious, alive, discriminating awareness that also has that quality of oneness in it. What does it really mean? What does that mean if there's that depth of connection, both actually outwardly and even more profoundly inwardly? If I'm one with the objects and the people and the sounds and the sights and the subtle dimensions all around, then who am I really? What am I really? Last week I spoke about how the sense of self tells us how true things are. When you have an expanded sense of self, your mind usually gets quiet, and that's just a sign that you're experiencing a more profound, a bigger sense of the truth, of reality, which is what you are one with that. And when you have a smaller experience, a contracted experience, that's just telling you that your experience in that moment is more limited, is smaller. The oneness itself doesn't get small, but our experience of it can get very small. So right now, again, to whatever degree you had a little bit of that softening, dissolving, a little bit of a sense of connection at least, a little bit more sense of connection, if not, if oneness seems like too much of a stretch, that whatever degree that sense of connection has opened up or expanded a little bit, what is the sense of self that that experience gives you? Notice how your sense of me, your sense of being, has it expanded with that sense of connection? Does it give you a little fuller, more open, spacious sense of being? And if so, I mean, it also may have contracted, though often if there's been a contraction, it's usually because there is some kind of reaction or resistance or conditioning that's been triggered by the experience of more connection. But in most cases, a sense of connection gives a more expanded sense of yourself. Obviously, if you are intimately connected with everything, that makes you bigger. It just makes you more connected. And that sense of expansion is actually showing you that it's actually true, that you are one, at least with more than you thought. And if you have had, or if someday have, or are having an experience of being one with everything and everyone, you will find that that gives you a very profoundly expanded sense of self. And so, in fact, it no longer makes sense to call it me or I or self or anything. It's so complete, it's so expanded, it's so inclusive of everything that your mind can't even comprehend it. And yet that is the sense of self that you have when you are one with everything. And that's because it is profoundly true that you are one with everything and everyone. So I hope that gave a taste. I hope that gave a flavor. I'd like to just leave a little space here if there are any questions or anyone wants to share what happened for them in this exploration of the simple forms of oneness and the invitation to explore them. So I'll just give a little pause here. You can either raise your hand or type a question if you like. If you don't, I can always talk more. I never run out of words, it seems. Yes, always explore, Regina wrote. I like your reminders to always explore. And again, especially the more contracted experiences. You don't have to wait for the big ones. Just the connection between you and the floor right now where your feet are touching it. All of this awareness, dimension, space, aliveness, discrimination, and oneness are present in a simple sensation like that. Or in an experience of your whole body. Or in an experience of an expanded sense of connection. All of those qualities are still present. I'll keep an eye out for questions, but another way of exploring actually all of these qualities, awareness, space, aliveness, discrimination, oneness, is in the expression of it, the function of it, the movement of it in life. And another word for the movement of awareness, the movement, it's funny thing to say the movement of space, but it's really the acknowledgement of space, the recognition of space. And for this alive, discriminating sense of connection that we have with everything, another word for it is love. The essence of love is awareness and space, this flow of attention. The best lover is someone who gives you lots of attention and lots of space to be just the way you are. So love is a functional expression. Love is the way our true nature moves in the world, moves in the world of form. This essence that we are, this mystery, this presence that we are, moves as awareness, space, aliveness, discrimination, and oneness, and that's love. And so another way to get in touch with these qualities, to get in touch with your true nature, is to give love, give a fullness of attention and space and acceptance to something. So just as we were, you know, exploring the sense of connection with a particular object, you can actually also just direct a complete fullness of attention to any object, its presence, and it can actually help to pick something kind of neutral, so you can just easily just shower it with attention, and then really see it, really sense it, if you can pick it up, if you can, or at least touch it. Just reach out and really, really take in the weight of it, the temperature of it, the color, all the subtle variations in color as the light strikes it, if there's any sounds associated with it, any smells. The invitation is to give the same quality of attention and acceptance and curiosity that you would give to a new lover. I know it might seem a little awkward, but you can give that same quality of attention. I'm right now holding a glass of water and just marveling at it the same way I would if I had just fallen in love. So you can just feel that flow of love. You can give this quality of attention to anything, anytime. You never run out of these qualities. So you can give love freely. That's actually when we are filled with love. We're filled with love when we give love. Not so much when we get love. When we get love, that's also a sweet experience. But it doesn't actually satisfy. It doesn't actually fill us up the same way that giving this quality of attention does. There's a simple principle at work, which is that anything that moves from the outside in is a movement from form into emptiness. So all the love you get from other people, all the attention, all the admiration, all the acceptance you experience from other people, when it comes into you, it goes into pure emptiness. It dissolves. It's like going into a vat of acid or something. it just is absorbed into the infinite space at the core of every object and every being. And then in contrast, when you give love, when you allow these qualities of your true nature, awareness, space, another word for awareness is attention. Another word for space is acceptance. Another word for discrimination is intense curiosity. And oneness, of course, really is central to the experience of love. You know, it's letting yourself feel connected to another person or another object or nature or the night sky, the clouds, your own body. You can love your own thoughts, give them the same quality of attention you would give to a lover. And when you do that, there's a flow, again, of the expression, the outward expression of your true nature that we call love. There's a flow from emptiness into form. That limitless potential at the center of your being is now being expressed outward into the world of form. And that, you know, whether it takes the form of an actual action of picking up an object and savoring it with your touch and savoring it with your sight and savoring it with your, you know, your lips, your sense of smell, your sense of hearing, or it's just a purely open-hearted curiosity, paying attention. That's when we're filled with love. It's that flow from inside out that makes us so full of love. And you can notice, so if you're doing it, whether you're doing it right now with an object or with your own thoughts or with your body or a part of your body, and you're feeling that flow of open, spacious, curious attention, you can notice, as we were exploring tonight, notice the sense of connection. Notice whether that sense of connection opens up. Feel stronger when you're loving, just loving the heck out of a glass of water, or your feet, or your emotions, or the sounds, the sound of my voice, the sounds in the room. And again, notice whether your sense of self, your heart, is more open or more closed. It's kind of a, you know, kind of, a lot of times that's kind of becomes a rhetorical question. When you're giving love freely, unreservedly, it's pretty unusual for your heart, your sense of being, your sense of self to contract or close, get smaller. It can if that triggers a fear or a doubt or a worry. But if that happens, you can also always just turn around and become really curious, really attentive, really accepting of your fear, of your doubt, of your worry. And this, so that's another way to experience all of these qualities of your true nature. And they all are interwoven in love. And in truth, there is always a flow of love. We are always, because that's, these qualities are always present, and that's what we are always loving something. You know, even before I invited you to love your fear, if you're experiencing your fear, then to some degree you're loving it. And then if you form a judgment about your fear, to try to not experience it, to, you know, to try to direct your attention somewhere else by judging your fear, then in that moment you're loving your judgment. I challenge you to find a moment where you're not paying attention to anything. There's always a flow of attention. There's always a flow of awareness. There's always love going somewhere. It may be contracted and focused. It may be, you know, expanded and bigger than you ever imagined was possible. But, you know, we're all always loving something. Sometimes it's our taste buds. Sometimes it's our fears. Sometimes it's our fantasies. Sometimes it's, you know, a physical experience, a physical sensation. Sometimes it's a whole big train of thought. We're always giving space, giving attention. We're always alive to something. So these qualities truly are always present. And what else is always, always present? You. You, which is really just a word for the sense of self, you are always present in every experience. There is no experience without a self, without a sense of self. So again, it's just logical that since these qualities are always here, and you are always here, that is what you are. What you are is this spacious, alive, discriminating awareness that's one with everything. Like eventually with all these little explorations of every little experience and you find these qualities always here, it just becomes undeniable that that's what you are. You don't have to get there through one big experience that knocks your socks off and leaves you, you know, rolling around in bliss on the floor. You can get there by acknowledging that these qualities are here, now, and in every moment. All right, I see the time has passed, and again, thank you all so much for this opportunity to share, and I look forward to encountering you in who knows where and when and how. But thank you, Regina, for having me, and thank you all for coming. I'll let go of the mic now.